This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is Coffee with Timmy. Coffee with Timmy, how are you doing? Today I'm talking to, how do you want me to introduce you? a friend of mine who also happens to be a leader in different aspects of life, in business, in church. And I found that recently, very recently, that he also does a program with young people to get them ready for life. As my interviews go, it's unscripted and I really don't know anything about it, so I'm going to ask him to tell us all about it. What I do know is it's called Bare Knuckles. Yeah? So okay. I thought it was boxing, but apparently not. So his name is Ayo Arogbo. Welcome, Ayo.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. So Bare Knuckles is the tag that we got for the program, and it's something that we conceived of about years ago. I believe 2011 / 2012 was the first time that we did it. I guess the Bare Knuckles is supposed to convey the idea that we go kind of raw, in the sense that we strip all, we bare all. That's the idea. So 12, thereabout years ago, I took, before then I'd spent maybe 4 years in the youth church. We were leading the youth church on Sundays and everything. And so it had become clear to me that a lot of these guys, and my church is in a up and coming, if you like.
I like that. Up and coming area.
So you find that, and that's the captive for the children that that get to be youths. So incidentally, a lot of them had been born in church.
Okay.
Their parents grew up in church and all of that. Mm-hmm. So they've been coming with their parents to church, many of them from when they were born, and some of them from children in the neighborhood who came through. I just saw, given the environment, the trajectory for those children, the way it was going to land them in a not desirable place. And they would go to school, but they would not aim high And when they go to school, secondary school, a few of them will manage to go into uni, but most of them will just, you know, they will sort of emerge into a sort of a hopeless world.
Okay.
Many of their parents were struggling, and many of them didn't go to school. They have known a life of struggle. So again, there was not a lot of vision that the parents
themselves have
for the children. And all the children have seen is a lifestyle of toil, of struggle, of this. And so the only place that they came that I felt like shined the light for them was church.
Hope.
Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Was church.
Okay.
They could, you know, there's a kind of barrier breaker. You come, you mix with people and all of that. But being in the adult church doesn't help them because you are dealing. Adults have their own problems that they have. There is no time, to focus on children because churches are sustained by the adults. So churches are more concerned about the problems of the adults.
Yeah. That's just the reality.
That the guys who fund the church will do all of that. So I took an interest, and we together with a few guys, we started the youth church. But after doing that for a few years, it just kind of thinking there must be something we can do for these people. There must be something we can do for these people. Because this is on the back of the experience that I've had, all the changes that have happened. You know, I went to uni, I'd become relatively successful. But still, you know, my own life had to transform based on reading books, the things that I understood and all of that. And so I just spoke to the pastor in church at that time that, you know what, let's do, you know, a program for young people. Let me teach them, you know, how to understand life in a different way, that the circumstances of your birth and your environment don't need to condemn you to a lifetime of misery. You know, so he also was a youthful person at that time. He was very excited. He even, all of them by now, had seen some stuff in me that they were.
I've seen some stuff in me as well. They didn't see how I know you can get it.
So yeah, so everybody fairly was interested in. Okay, I want to teach you. So we started this program, and I knew that what I needed to teach them wasn't a one event, a one day thing.
Okay.
So we decided that when can we get the most hours for people to be concentrated and focused and all of that. We decided it would be a night vigil, one of the Fridays every month. And I think it went on for like 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
I basically laid out to them, the starting point was building up confidence in these people to understand that it doesn't matter where you are born or all of that, you know, you are made in the image of God. That's essentially, you know. And if we say God is magnificent, is amazing, is glorious, is all of the things that we describe God by, and if God says you have been made in his image, it means that, you know, most of those things
should
reflect
on
in
you.
Our own life, you know. So if you, I started right by saying to them, describe God in your own. So they all listed, he's glorious, he's amazing, he's great. He said, okay, so we agreed he's all of that. But then if he says, what does it mean to be likeness of something, an image? His two things are essentially the same.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So if we agree that God is all of these things, and you are his likeness and you are his image, it means that on the other side too, we need to see greatness, glory, amazing. All of these things need to describe you. So you kind of want them to get a feeling that my parents might be poor,
but there's more to me than that.
This is what I am. And that the fact that you are created like that doesn't mean automatically you will manifest that. So manifesting all of those things in God that has been deposited in you requires a certain kind of work, you know, because when we say hard work, people, you know, in their head, you know, convince themselves that it means lifting weights, doing heavy stuff, you know. So I kind of explained to them as well that, you know, what we say now is if you have a habit of doing easy stuff, life will be hard for you. And if you have a habit of doing the hard stuff, life will be easy for you. But the challenge is determining what is hard and what is easy. Because people, when they hear if you do the house talk, they tend to think, oh yeah, this must be the hard things that I need to do and all of that. And I said, no, because most people are doing that and they are not turning to anything. So the hard stuff is you know what, a first creation and a second creation. And, you know, we said, look through the Bible. Everything was created twice. God said, let there be, when he created man and woman, he made them, he created all of that. It's, at the point when he said that, the men weren't physically formed. When you go to the second chapter of Genesis or the third chapter, is when he said he formed them, was when Adam physically manifested. But all the time he was saying, have dominion, be this, be that. The people had not been physically created. All right, so I made the case to them that everything in this world is created twice. If you are building a house, you do an architectural drawing. If you are going to design a TV, you don't just start making it. You have a vision of that thing. You then go and do it. So the easy stuff is people are trying to construct something for which they haven't made the first creation. So they are kind of haphazardly building, pay as you go, and all of that. And the hard stuff, all right.
Pay as you go.
Anything, anywhere you can, you finish.
So basically, they needed to have a vision.
Yeah.
It's not a question of, oh, I want to be the boss. Yeah, but of what? In what area? In what industry?
So
a lot of that.
Once establish the case,
then you know where you're going.
No masterpiece can be created without first creating it, you know, in sort of some image and all of that.
Okay.
You know, so the challenge is now we have to create that first vision for you.
Okay.
All right. Because then the hard stuff is we now go about. So when the architect draws the house, he now starts finding a constructor. They buy iron rod, they buy this, they buy that. But if he starts buying that without first determining
what
he
needed.
Wants to, you know, so with that, the most important exercise that we did, I think, is, you know, a gym session. You know,
okay, I was going to ask that. Why did you divide it into five? So the first one is your dream session.
Yeah.
What would the second one be?
You know, so the dream session is the most important because what we're saying now is, what is an amazing life to you?
Okay.
What is, for your own life to be described, what do you consider amazing, glorious, whatever it is, you. Mm-hmm. It's not my dream, it's your dream. And so to help people, when you say that, people would, you know, kind of begin to say all sorts. So to put some discipline into it, we identified six or seven areas in their lives. We started out with your career and business, finance, your person, your adventure and life. You know, so six or seven different areas. We broke down each person's life into that with the major areas of life. And so we now say, for each one, cast a dream, cast a vision. So if we are talking business and career, we do career first because most people are going to end up being career people. So who do you want to work for? What kind of work do you want to do? Where do you want to work it? What kind of sum do you want to earn? And all of that. And do not think about how now. Just think what you want. Just draw from the pool, from your own stream, inner stream, everything.
Don't put
that
a
you
limit
can.
To yourself.
No limit. Just, yes. Just write it down.
Yeah, if I could, this is what I will do.
This
yeah.
is what I, if there are no limits, there are no restrictions, there are no, what will I do? What do I really do? And that for each person, it will be different. To let you know that it's individual to each person, it will be different. And so we go to finance as well. What kind of network do you have? Do you have a vision to be debt free? You know, what financial goals do you have?
You have to have a vision to be debt free. Everyone.
Some people, you know.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So it depends. So I'm helping them in this session to draw. So I'm guiding them in possibilities. Think through, you know what, and think as wide as you can, as big as you can. Don't hold yourself back. Don't this thing. And then we say adventure. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to see? All right. How do you want to say? So we dreamt relationship was another this thing.
Okay.
Marriage and friends. Relationship, who do you want to marry? What kind of work should she be doing? What kind of relationship do you want to go? How many children? What kind of holidays do all of these things. And the next step was convert those things into goals, because everybody can have a dream, all right, but converting them into goals is like one of the first steps in achieving them. So the difference between, so the dreams now that we have written, each one we now go into, when do we want it to happen? All right. And then why do I want this thing? Because in the asking of why, you find out that some of these things are frivolous. Because so I want money. Why? Because the why is going to be the anchor for whether how far you go when you pursue it. Because in the pursuit of it, you meet disappointment, you meet frustration, you meet the why is what keeps you going. Otherwise, when you don't have a strong why, the first obstacle you face, you drop it and move on to something else. But for it to be something that is strong, that you have an emotional attachment to, you must find a reason for it.
Okay.
So I ask them, money is the easy one. Why do you want money? Most people, when they hear that, will start with, I want to pay off my debt. I want to own a house. I want to buy a car. I want to, and all of that. And there are reasons, but they are not good reasons. All right? Because, okay, so when you buy the car, what happens?
So you don't need money anymore.
So I made the point to them that the principal reason, the best reason, the only reason everybody should want money is freedom. You know, the freedom to do.
Independence is very good.
The freedom to do what you want, when you want it, with who you want it. At the time, anytime you want it, anyhow, that's really what we need money for. Because you can have money and not buy the biggest car, but you just know that if I want it, I can buy it.
Yes.
All right, I might have money and all I want to do is be traveling around, you know. But for Christians particularly, why you should have money is so that with money you are able to live the way you want according to the dictates of God. You don't need to answer to anybody, because as it is these times, there are many things that challenge our Christianity that we are having to stomach or suppress or this thing, because inclusiveness, inclusion, and all of that. But if you have your money, then you don't need to work, because of there are no the is to shield yourself from the consequences of doing the things you like to do. All right, many of us, you know, we tithe. Why do we tithe? Because I say to people, you don't want to live your life in such a way that your tithe money is the money, for instance, that you need to pay for hospital operation for your child if you need to die. Very few of us will leave our child in the hospital with a life-threatening sickness and say, it's my tithe, I can't use it for that. Very few. And there's really no need for us to be living on such a, because it is still not an excuse. Most of us will do it. Your pastor will even advise you, please deal with your child first. But see, it doesn't stop it from being a sin. But the reason why that is most of us are living on the edge of that. So understanding why you want something, if you know that my freedom, you know, so I can live the way I want and the way I believe, then you keep going. You make the sacrifices, you do the things that you need to do. So we did this in 2012, 2011 for many of these children. But we did it only once. At that time, it was one. I was
just
busy
did it once
well.
Off. You know, like, yeah,
for like 5 months or something, I did it. So they wrote their goals. They wrote it down. So learning to even write something down is a significant progress for many. Because all of us, some of us carry our dreams in our head. It's not written down. But I made the case to them, write it down, familiarize yourself with it, emotionalize it. Be looking at it every now and then, every day, every week. Be calling your consciousness to it. There's a reason why if you buy a car, you start noticing that car everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the same number of cars have been in circulation. Mm-hmm. But because it wasn't in your universe, it wasn't in your consciousness, you weren't paying attention to it. Yeah. This is the benefit of writing goals down. Once you begin to emotionalize with it and all of that, the universe, more or less, starts to draw direct resources your way, opportunities and all of that, so that you are now conscious to observe those things and to take it. So we did this thing and I left it. I became busy traveling all over and all of that. I didn't pay any mind to it. But over the years, all right, some of the guys
those
who went through this thing,
mm.
you know, I've not seen these things manifest in their lives. You know,
wow.
Many of them have come from, you know, very hopeless situations. They've not transformed into, so that the people are now saying to me, they now too are conscious to the people coming behind of them,
yeah.
who are not turning to anything.
Mm.
So they started coming to me. Oh God, you're this. You're this. Pastor, you're this. We have to do this again. We have to try this. We have to, you know, it took a while. But beginning this year, I also, you know, in settling down, began to take notice as well.
There's another set that needs help.
These young people are not going anywhere. Let's do something. And so we decided that we were going to do it. My pastors of my branch spoke to the pastors of all the other branches that it should be
not just your branch.
Of our church now coming, and we dedicated five months to this thing, and this probably happened to be the last one. And so the last two days through this thing, it was testimonials of people who have gone through the first one, who are coming to say, I also was like this. And so I think it's,
and that helps,
more power.
That helps, yes, because like
there's more power.
Wow, really? So you know what I'm going through. You've been there. You've experienced
so
it.
So everybody
and
has lived themselves and lived. Because you have seen all these people now who are the principal of one of the biggest private schools in Nigeria. When she tells you where she started out from, in Lawansin, living with 7 siblings in a one-room apartment, walking to school, going and all of that.
Yeah.
What did she do, you know, to get to this place? When you listen to someone say, at the time we did bare knuckles, I was earning 300,000 naira a month. I wrote a goal that I wanted to be earning 1 million naira a month within a certain number of years.
Yes. Mm.
And with less than 12 or 24 months after I wrote that, I wasn't earning 1 million a month. You know, I wasn't earning 2 million. I wasn't, you know, so you can see the transformation of all of that.
Mm.
When somebody comes and say, I was loafing and faffing around.
Yeah, I've forgotten
like
that word.
Faffing. You know, I wasn't academically inclined. You know, I was just hustling, doing decorations for weddings, events and all of that. And since that time, the person still brought his note of 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. Because
all
he's been looking at,
he's been familiarizing himself with it. So to point where today is, the guy is a filmmaker. You know, everybody at one of the biggest productions in Nigeria this year has been Gangs of Lagos.
Okay.
So when this person tells you he was the assistant director of Gangs of Lagos, all of you know,
you know
this
the
guy
movie.
Who, when he was
you,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
You can, oh, wow. So I think that those,
and that's really good, because I find that young people especially, they see the end product. That's what I would say.
Well,
that's what I want to be like. But they don't know the journey. So it's like you want this thing, you don't want the responsibility and being accountable and all the work that comes into it.
So each one of those people are sharing with you what they have to do. I've told you all the theory and all of that thing. So you have seen people now who said, I was sitting down here like you 12 years ago, going nowhere, having no this thing. And many of them can barely say a word without saying, oh, I remember Pastor he was telling us this thing. I remember this thing. I was that. You know, so.
I can also say I remember Pastor Ayo.
You know, yeah, so it was quite good. We, because of the impact of that and the what we are doing, it's possible, there's a distinct possibility that this could be an annual event.
Yeah.
I said to them, you guys have done stuff. At the end of the year, you guys sit together, take stock. Was it beneficial? What a transformation has it brought in our life? And end of the year, you guys come back. If you want us to do this again next year, all right, communicate to the pastors. We will then probably do it. And I think that we'll probably do it
But
again.
Do you think it would be necessary every year? Or may like the other year? What age group?
No age group. That's the amazing thing. Because what many of these guys are learning. Many adults haven't learned it.
Yep. I wish somebody had taken me through this.
And so the point that we make is, it's never too late.
Okay.
If you are hearing this thing at the age of 50, you could still live another 20 years or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing some of these things for 5 years could deliver to you dramatic results for the last 20 years of your life that will wipe off whatever misery and so really it was open to the whole church with emphasis on young people. But really, when we say young people, it's just out of respect we're speaking. What are you doing?
What do you mean out of respect? So basically, if you really are doing, if you are faffing around, you need to come and let's help you sort yourself out.
Yeah, that's it. And even people who are on track, you know, you find that. So some of the people who came for the first one, still came for this one, because it might be that when you are in a setting that gives you, say, it forces you to revise your goals.
Yes, yes.
10 years ago and all of that, you write new ones, you expand what you want, because some of them you have eclipsed them, or some of them are no longer important to you because the person you have become. There are new things, there are new ones, there are new things. Even me going through this experience, you know, it has revalidated for me some of the behavior that got me here. I had become indisciplined with them. I had become a sporadic reader. I read once in a while.
You guys can't see my face, but if you know this person, you say it's not reading, and my mouth is hanging down.
So I'm reading three books.
It used to force us. We have read this.
In the last month, for instance, I've read three books.
Okay.
I've written down from my reading this last 1 month and a half combined more than I've written down from reading in the last 10 years.
Okay.
All right, so even me.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Speaking and in doing, you know that, man, I'm becoming stale. You are just regurgitating all you know. Freshness and newness that needs to come. So that's I think that really everybody. So towards the end, like yes, it's Saturday, many parents came.
Oh, okay.
Because they are hearing from their children.
What have you done to my child? This is not the child
children,
that I know before.
And we put it online as well. People could connect. people.
You didn't say that.
And watch you were dead.
I was jet lagged.
So
is this still online?
Yeah.
So I can watch it. Okay.
You can watch some of the all the former survivors.
They were all online. That makes it. Okay. So like, how many people did you have on Saturday? Friday night.
Yeah.
Midnight. Yeah.
I think in the end it would be close to 200.
Wow.
Close to 200.
That's good. So are you the only one who runs it, or also with the other group of friends that you started the youth church with?
So I essentially drive it.
Okay.
So, but like I said, the last 2 months it was more testimonial. So we had a total of 8 other people speaking up. So I shared my experience as well. Growing up, all of you can see this pastor here now, but you don't know that. I also grew up in Ijesha. We lived in one room. I went to
Jakonde School.
I had 4 credits and 2 P's. And people came to my house to celebrate with me because it turns out it was the second or third best result in the school, you know. But going into UNILAG was what gave me the opportunity to measure myself against other people. Okay. And that's where the confidence I have now came from. Seeing that these people are no better than me, and if I have the same opportunity as them, I'll turn out as good as them. If I had gone to, say, a state university at that time, not now, at that time, after coming to Jakonde Secondary School, I couldn't have gone to a Jakonde University as well.
Okay.
Because it would not have given me what I have now, which is the belief that if I have the same chance, same opportunity, nobody is better than you. You know, so that was a critical.
So obviously the parents are listening to this. So this is also a choice of when you're choosing where your child is going to go. I've talked to different parents on different things, and this always comes at it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
What school your child is going to go, and how you bring up your child. So it's not haphazard. So it's not even just the children themselves. Okay, so you got into UNILAG with your four C's and two P's. But there are also people who have gone to UNILAG who even came up from a better home than you did, a better situation. But they haven't made anything of themselves.
Maybe because it doesn't mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. What? So, add 4 credits, add 2 P's, add to do GC. So you have to make up your 5 credits and 6 credits. In this case, if it's 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I did GC to get 2 credits and attach it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're on the line registering, all of them are having 9 A's, 8 A's. Nobody is combining results. So when they say, where is English, you say, it is. Oh, where is mathematics, you bring that. No, it's embarrassing. But one of the things, so in the end, you say, what makes the difference? All right? And that's one of the biggest things that we're trying to build in this way, that you can, regardless of the physical situation that you are in now, you must live in a different place in your head. That's the way, that's the vision, that first vision of life being better, you have to create it in your head first. You know, you have to imagine yourself out of this situation, because if you can't imagine yourself out of it, there's nothing to work towards. So I went into UNILAG. I wasn't going to school. I saw it as my get out of jail card, as what was going to get me out of this situation.
Okay.
This was how I was going to have money. This was how I was going to have my own family. This was how I was going to, because everything else, I've thought about it and I've seen that this education is going to be the only way by it. And I gave focus to it. And the other thing I did was going to UNILAG, I said, you know what? It will be 2-1 for me or nothing. And that also is based on what my situation was. It will not mean anything to me if I will get somebody to write a letter for me to get a job. But I said to myself, there is no link. There is nobody in my family that is linked, that is connected.
Anyway,
the only thing that is going to give you a chance is this grace that you come out with. So 2-1 was important to me. It's not because I like reading or anything, but because, man, if I'm going to change my situation. Yeah, and I said to them, I was 2-1 from year 1 up to second semester, first semester year 3. 2-1. And then second semester year 3, I had the worst possible result in the entire 4 years that I had. So that cumulatively, I dropped to 2-2. So by the time I was in first semester, year four, I was in tutu. But I said to myself, I'm dying here. This so again, I had the best result of the 4 years in my first semester, year four. And I pulled myself back to 2-1 again. Okay. And so that by the second semester, year four, I just consolidated, made sure that I held that. But it was important, and it proved to be useful. Because once I got myself
back up,
assigned to NYC in Lagos, which was a critical thing, got myself assigned to NYC in Lagos. My uncle, that you know, at that time was working in a bank. So he had gotten me he had gotten his friend in GTB to say my nephew, you know, dead banking and finance and is this and is that and is posted to Lagos. He would like to. GTB people don't really have much influence. All they are going to say to you is do the test. If you pass, okay. But once I have heard that test, my confidence at that time was so high that I didn't wait for the test. I told them in NYC to assign me to GTB. Because I was so confident that if it's test, it can't stop me. Nothing can stop me again. Yeah. But unfortunately, I missed the test.
You missed or you failed?
I missed.
How?
I didn't know they came to camp. Because they came to do the test in camp.
Oh.
I didn't hear. So it was getting to the end of camp. But no, they told me they would come to camp. I'd not seen them. So I sneaked out of camp. I went to the GTB office that... You, these guys, have already transferred myself to GTB. Passing out in a week. You guys, when are you coming? They said they came yesterday. What? You came yesterday, I missed it. Okay, I'm here now, let me do the test. They say until November or December again when they can do the test. So I'm in a spot. I've gotten them to assign me to GTB. I've missed the test. The guys are not going to let me sit for the test anymore until later. So what was I going to do? I left the place. I had heard about Intercontinental Bank. I'd heard from watching the MD speak about his bank.
Okay. So,
you know, he said the line I remember him speaking was that the average age of their managers is 30 years. They're young bank, they're this and that. And incidentally, one of my classmates was going to serve there. So I knew that this is a good bank and all of that. So I left GTB. I took a bus and I just went to Intercontinental.
Mm.
And the guy, where is your HR? I need to see. So do you have an appointment? No, I need to see somebody in HR. So when they directed me to the HR, yeah, what? I said, I'm a youth copper. I've been posted to Lagos. Yeah, the guy said, okay, tell me more. I said, I read banking and finance. He said, yeah, what? I made 2-1. And I've been transferred to Lagos. I'm just looking for where to serve. The guy, like, he didn't hear well. He went and called his boss. Said, come on, this is what the guy said.
People don't just walk in like this. I know.
Everything is arranged.
Yes.
You know, tell
where
me again.
Where is this guy?
I said, I went to UNILAG. So check, it's good school.
Uh-huh.
I read finance. I check, good course. I made 2-1. Check, good. And I have already been posted to Lagos. So what do we need to do now? The guy said I should wait. So he went inside, he went to bring their test.
Okay.
For me. I mean, so like where test. I was test. You can't stop me again. So they took me to a room of test. I did the test. They said I should wait. And I should wait where they marked it. They marked it. I passed. The same day, they went in, typed the letter for me, and told me that the only thing they can do is they can't assign me to Intercontinental, but I have a letter. If I can get myself assigned to Intercontinental, there was a job for me. So I came to your office from there.
I didn't know him.
And you?
I was too fancy to know him then.
You know, so I came to my uncle to say, "Wow, there's problem. You know, I missed the test in GTV because I didn't know." But I said, "On my will, I've already stopped at Intercontinental. I've done this and I've gotten my letter already." So he couldn't even be upset with me because I've taken the initiative and I've done this thing. So I'm saying all of this was possible because I'd gone to a good school. And that 2-1 was the thing that gave me confidence to, like, these people will listen to me. Yeah, and I was there. The test, I've been getting it in my head. Test can't stop me now. So it wasn't come back tomorrow. It was, everything was right on the spot. All right, so my battle now was how to change from GCB to Inter, because the NYC people now are giving me grief that you are the person who said you wanted GCB. Now, yeah, without going there, how are we going to change it? But I eventually succeeded in changing it. And the GCB, while I was doing the NYC, the GCB people now called me for their next round of test. So I did the test. I passed the interview and all of that. They were going to make they forgot that I was still doing NYC.
They wanted to give you a permanent job.
So the lady was like, bring your NYC certificate. I said, I'm still doing NYC. Give me the job, I'm ready to start. You know, so how I ended up not going to GTB was, they were insisting again that I should go and change back to GTB when I started work. I worked for like 4 months or something. I'm not going to be able to do that.
But you know what? One thing I'm also getting here, which young people don't do, not just young people, but since I'm talking about youths now, the preparation is not there. And for anything that we're going to do in life, you need to be prepared. You don't know when it's going to come. You know what it is, so you have your vision. So this is the vision. This is what I want to do. What do I need to get there? Even if you say, okay, I'm giving myself 3 years, but don't wait until the third year. You know, start it immediately. This is what you want to do. Start it immediately. And like you said, it comes together. My pastor said something that whatever it is that you need, there are four people, 4 feet. There's somebody 4 feet from you or something something like that, that you just don't know. But until you actually start doing that, so it's a bit like what's with the universe, until you actually start. When I ask young people these days, they want to be like this person or that person, but what do you want to do?
So, you know, it's interesting you say that, because that's one of the benefits of...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Setting a vision, a goal, a dream, this thing. Because once you have something ahead of you, you already know that, you know, you are consumed by it. Mm-hmm. All right. Very few of the things that we want require one step to get there. So if you have a goal of, say, your adventure goals, for instance, might be, one of my own goals was, I want to be able to go to every World Cup final while I'm alive. And I came to Ghana.
You came. Right? I remember.
And I went to Brazil.
Oh, did you?
And went to Russia. This was the last one. I just didn't go because I didn't get the tickets officially. I didn't want to go to Qatar and be hosting for. But so, saying that, you have to be doing so. You will not just wake up when the World Cup is there and say, oh, transport me to the place. You know, so every goal, most goals will require you to have incremental actions and steps that you might soon. If you want to say you want to lead an organization as the managing director, from where you are to that place, you are going to have to be promoted to manager. You are going to become a senior person. You are going to become director and all of that.
Please tell my child, because she wants to be the boss. I said, of what? I don't care. I just want to be the boss so I can tell people what to do.
It's a step. So it's a pretty useful criteria. The other thing that is important that you said is, and this is the essence of listening to other people's stories. Success leaves clues. Mm-hmm. All right, people who are successful in something do things in a particular way to deliver the results that they have. So if you admire somebody's results, the onus is on you to then mm-hmm. understand what do they do to accomplish that result. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what we say to you is, if you do the same thing, your results will be very similar to the results that they're getting. Mm-hmm. So it's not enough to say, I admire this person, I like this person. What that does is to then call you to observe and know and learn and read about them. Mm-hmm. What do they do? What time do they wake up? How do they study? How do they read? What do they do? And when you operate from a certain, certainty that if you did the same things, mm-hmm. all right, you get, you know, mm-hmm. results that will mirror mm-hmm. what they are getting.
Okay, thank you. I'm actually quite glad that this thing is online, because when I finally woke up on Saturday, which was like midday on Saturday, I was like, it would have been nice to actually go and see how it's done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can get... Okay, so I'm talking to Ayo from Lagos, Nigeria, but I don't know how we can get... maybe it has to be in a certain area to get young people in South Africa to come for a night vigil, to be there through the night. And we probably can get them during the day on a Saturday if you can get their parents to buy in. Mm. We probably can get them through that. It would be nice. I wish you'd written a book on it, like a workbook, so that those of us who don't have you, we can then walk through these are the stages and all of that. Mm. That would be nice. Will you think of writing a workbook?
So
I'll help you write it. I'm volunteering.
Okay, so there are many things to, there are many dimensions to your question. The first thing is we have to understand the environment that we operate in to plan this thing. So we have done night vigils because to get people's focus, to get attention, and to get the most hours. Mm-hmm. So where will you get 5 hours during the day? Where people can be distracted to go somewhere else.
Busy, okay. Yeah.
But if you were in an environment where that wouldn't be possible, then you probably expand. But here also, the challenge we have is you don't want to do a 1-year program. People get tired.
No. Yeah, even I get bored.
So I think that you have to adapt it to the situation that we are. I think when you watch the videos, we can speak as to how we can dimension it for other people.
Yeah, I really like to.
What I am challenging some of my guys with, the people who have gone ahead, is that you people be watchful now, because it's not every time that we're doing it.
Yeah.
As we go ahead, some of the sessions I might be assigning to you to lead, to drive, to do. So where and very many of those people can do this thing in their head, but you know, doing it physically and all of that is possible. It's difficult for them now, but it's difficult only because you haven't turned them into
because they haven't done it yet.
But I think that will be
but it's so great to see we will say, and as Christian, to see the manifestation, to see the result. So this is not just talk, it is possible.
I am outstanding by some of the things I'm hearing
that you're
people
hearing.
Say.
Mm.
You know, we on Friday we had a guy come, and the one of the guys that testified the previous month, their contemporaries, they all grew up at the same time, and he was saying he was coming through that bare knuckles that time, and he was saying to this guy that, man, we are going to be this, we are going to be that, we are going to be that. Then when he listened to the guy, he could only conclude that this guy is mad, because the guy's go gyms at that time made his own look like he was not even serious, he had just started, you know. But this guy that he was talking about, I'd already penciled him down that he was going to be one of the guys so he was testifying growing up in a household. You know what he said was, my dad could speak a lot of English, but didn't have a lot of money. He could speak Queen's English, that he and his siblings shared a room. And his dad, being a generous man, traveled to the village one time and saw another cousin or something that he could help, and he still brought him to come and sleep in the same room with them. But that things were so difficult for them that sleeping in the room, because of just the congestion and all of that, was very difficult, so that I ended up most nights just praying, walking around the premises of his house, just praying, because sleep was not possible. You know, saying I wake up to go to school, I wake up at 5, I have to go to the bakery to pick up bread, I have to pick up bread, bring it to the house, go to school, then come back, hug the bread, and do, you know, all of that, to the point today where his business is real estate, and he's right now, they're building one of the tallest buildings on the mainland, you know, just people. And he said something about he came to visit me at work one of these days. I sure I won't remember. And I don't remember.
See, forgive me now, not remember,
yeah,
you.
You know, that he came and I was speaking with him and I was doing something. And then my partner came. We had to go out. Maybe we were going for lunch or something. And when I was going, we had to end up and round up. And I said, you go and eat. And he said, I gave him 40,000 naira. I can remember that event of
giving him money.
No, not giving him money. Him coming, and I think I remember that we had to go somewhere, and but I couldn't remember that I gave him 40,000. Mm-hmm. But when you think 10 years ago,
that was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
That was a lot of money.
He remembers. He said he couldn't spend the money, and he's thinking
maybe you gave it to me by mistake.
No, somebody can give somebody 40,000 to go and eat. That's all he was saying, that he gave me 40,000 to go and have lunch with. That he just couldn't believe it, that it's possible to live like this. You understand? Mm. To the point now where he's able to do that.
The same too, yeah.
You know, so when you hear, and I think that people's minds get blown when they see, you know, testimonies are useful.
No, they're very. It encourages those, because sometimes you think, okay, I've been doing everything they've said I should do. I'm still not seeing it. And I think in that thing, we need to look at when you've done everything, it's like a plant growing. Yeah. You don't see what it's doing underneath.
You
know, and then all of a sudden, you just see it, you know.
The Chinese bamboo tree grows, doesn't grow out of the ground.
It doesn't grow for the first 5 years or 10 years or something.
And then grows to 80 feet in the 1 year that it grows.
Yeah, yeah.
But the growth doesn't start in that 1 year. Without those 5 years on the ground, that's
sinking
one,
its roots,
yeah,
and the root, and
yeah,
then, but you, that's another thing people don't like. And I have to say, okay, I will ask you this so that it's not me making it up. When you went to uni, like, were you a Christian then?
No.
So it's not because some will say, oh, but was God helping him? And I'm not saying that God is
God
small.
Himself,
no,
yeah.
God has to be there. But the thing is, you can be determined at any age. This is what I want. I don't want to live in a certain way. I was, so in South Africa, we call, you know, it's called Palo in Nigeria. I say,
okay,
oh, it's a lounge. And I remember my second one, I say, what's this lounge you're talking? I said, let me enjoy it like that. Because I remember sleeping on the floor,
yeah,
on the mat. I remember that very well. Even though we had a room, once an uncle or anybody comes, it's not even a question.
Yeah.
These days, they will say it's child abuse.
You
get out your mat, we sleep on the mat. And I don't have to sleep on the mat anymore. My child will never sleep on the mat. Going camping is like, no, you're taking me back to my childhood. Leave my childhood. That's never going to happen. And you have to be able to dream it.
Yeah.
And maybe that was one thing that I didn't do, was to write it down. But that dream it, I understand it very well. Because if you don't, it's going to happen, it's all sarah.
Yeah,
if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah,
that kind
like
of thing.
One of the guys said on Friday, if you can't see it, you can't seize it.
You can't see it.
You have to create it in your mind, you know, in your head. You have to live in a better place in your head.
Yeah.
That's the encouragement, that picture, you are moving towards it every day that you are living. You are not daydreaming. You are, you know, seeing yourself in that. And when you become conscious, what we say is, when the student is ready, the teacher shows up. Once you become aware of what is possible, the universe begins to suggest answers to you. You things that you were ignorant of, you are unaware of, your self-awareness, your consciousness, your awareness of things become really heightened, because now you have that object in your sight. So I think it's an incredible
story. Okay, so as usual, they've given me work to do. I'll go watch all the what's that's gone past. And really, yes, I think really, really it's necessary, not just even in Lagos, because this is just doing it in Lagos.
Yeah,
it's something that young people need, because they're being influenced by what's on TikTok and whatever. The funny thing is, even those people that are influenced, they got to work at it.
Yeah.
But they make it look so easy.
Yeah,
they'll be just living their life. But it's a competitive, it's a competitive environment, whichever work you do. So thank you. I didn't introduce you properly, but I'll fix
okay.
it. It's okay. That's why I'm telling you everything.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.